traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Black bean and poblano flautas. That's just one of the delicious meals I've tried through HelloFresh. With over 50 menu and market items to choose from every single week, you'll never get bored. Get 16 free meals plus 3 free gifts with code MLM16 at HelloFresh.com/MLM16. Romance scams. What better topic for Valentine's Day, right? You're probably aware of what these are. Someone pretending to be the perfect partner before inevitably asking for money. But who's doing this, and why? This is not your classic Nigerian prince that's trying to get romantic with you, but something a little more sinister. Hello everyone, and welcome to Multilevel Mondays. I'm the Illuminati, and today we're going to be talking about romance scams. While there are many different kinds of ways that people can catfish, whether it's pretending to be your bank, a relative in trouble, the IRS, or a charity, let's focus on the fraud of love. We'll start by talking about what a romance scam is before we get into how they happen and continue to go so unpunished behind the scenes. Also, a little more than halfway into today's episode, I'm going to issue a content warning for violent crimes and trafficking, so please just be aware of that. With that being said, let's get into it.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Now, a romance scam is exactly as it sounds. Someone pretending to want a relationship, when in actuality, what they really just want is a relationship with your bank account. By no means is it idiotic to fall for one of these scams. The criminals behind them are experts in building trust and manipulating their victims. According to the FBI, they're most present on dating and social media sites, but you can find these romance scams just about anywhere. For Ellen Florin, a 67-year-old educational consultant, it was a neighborhood hub called Nextdoor. When she met James Gibson there, he claimed to live in her Chicago neighborhood and even told her which street he was on. They chatted on Nextdoor for about a week before switching to email and eventually phone conversations. According to Florin, she couldn't help but feel sorry for Gibson when he revealed that his wife and child had been killed in a car crash some time ago. And Gibson most certainly seemed like quite a catch. He was a family man, but single, who took about an hour every day to talk with Florin and who responded to her texts very promptly. Gibson even agreed to meet with her, but unfortunately, he landed a big job in Europe and had to postpone their date. Still, it seemed like a reasonable excuse. They could just meet later. As he was leaving, Gibson wanted to catch movies on the plane, so he asked Florin to buy him a $100 Netflix gift card. Again, that seemed reasonable. Gibson was probably in the airport, so he couldn't get it himself, and $100 isn't that much money. To be fair, it's still a fair amount of money, but it's not nearly the thousands that scammers initially ask for, right? Well, 3 days later, Gibson called again and told Florin that he left a big bag of expensive tools in a cab. They were worth $4,000, but he found replacements for $2,600. He just needed her to send him the money. He was hysterical on the phone, Florin told the New York Times. Rather than send him the money, Florin was suspicious. Why wouldn't he try to track down the cab? Why wouldn't he have a credit card on him or an employer willing to help? It didn't add up. So when Gibson called, she told him, "You're scamming me," hung up and blocked him. In total, she only lost $100. While I'm not sure I'd call Florin lucky, as it was her own caution that helped her see the scam for what it was, she's certainly one of the lucky ones when compared to the other victims of these romance scams.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
One woman who simply goes by RR online claims that her husband of 25 years dumped her for a 20-year-old woman. Heartbroken, her world turned upside down and she joined a dating site where she was contacted by a handsome man named Jeff Thomas. He claimed to be an engineer in Sydney, and though they spoke on the site at first, he soon asked her to speak on emails and over the phone. RR intended to fly to Sydney to see him before he had to leave for Malaysia to work on a railway bridge, but Thomas called her the morning she was due to leave and said that he couldn't get together after all. It would have been the first time that she saw his face, as his screen supposedly never worked when they tried to Skype. According to RR, he did send some proof that he was who he claimed to be, like photos of the bridge he was working on, but that was about it. After a couple of months, the problems started. RR claims, firstly, he said his wallet had been stolen and all his cards and his $70,000 of cash to pay his workers. I must admit, I did comment, how could he fit $70,000 into a wallet, but he ignored me. By this time, he was talking about us buying a big house, traveling the world together, etc., etc., even marrying when he returned in a couple months. He said he had no money for food. He wanted me to send $15,000 ASAP. I explained I was retired and a pensioner and that it would take my savings, but he started crying and saying he would pay me back, plus he was going to buy me a $2 million house that was actually for sale in the town I was living. Well, I sent him that money. Once she sent him the money, things only got worse. Thomas asked her to sell her cottage so he could pay all the workers he owed money to, and she refused, for the record. When she got a phone call from Thomas' so-called solicitor in Sydney, they claimed to have gathered together $200,000 to help Thomas, and they wanted RR to travel to Malaysia with the $200,000 strapped to her body. Very legit and very safe. She, of course, refused again, and Thomas called and screamed at her, saying she didn't care about him. It was then that she finally realized that this was a scam, reported it, and blocked him. There are a ton of other similar stories online, oftentimes featuring women putting themselves in less than ideal financial positions because a man they thought they knew promised them the world. A woman that goes by AB claimed that the man she was talking to, who went by Andre, even threatened to post the personal, intimate photos she sent him if he didn't send her money. While women over the age of 55 are statistically more likely to be targeted for these types of scams, they can happen to just about anyone. One man who goes by RDL on a romance scam survivor site claims that he received an email from a woman that went by Lisa Custer. He let his guard down, trusted her, and sent Lisa about $300,000 over a period of about 2 years. Now, RDL is living off his pension alone. As he stated, "These people exploit our vulnerabilities. In my case, I had been divorced twice, was living alone, and in retrospect, I was obviously emotionally vulnerable." Not only are the victims of romance scams often vulnerable and older adults, but they tend to underreport these crimes too, often feeling foolish, heartbroken, or tricked. Monica Grover from the FBI's Office of Public Affairs was featured on the podcast Inside the FBI and spoke about the warning signs of romance scams. Much of what she said lines up with the stories we've heard thus far. The relationship often moves quickly, and these romantic partners tend to live overseas or travel, hence why they can't meet in person. Another large red flag is when someone tries to move the conversation off a dating site quickly. This isn't necessarily a sure sign that the person is a scammer, but it seems to make things move to text eventually, as is the case with Florin and RR. And they were quickly giving out personal information. To get to the point, Grover states, don't trust anyone that you've only met online that asks you for money. It's also important to note that although we're talking about romance scams, these can also be called confidence scams. Even if you're not looking for love, just chatting with a stranger on the internet, maybe a new friend, or a fellow member of an online community can lead to one of these type of romance scams. It's any type of relationship built on trust, as Monica Grover explains, and some scammers even pretend they're part of your family. These can be either immediate family or long-lost family members too. Romance scams can be financially and emotionally devastating, but where are they coming from? Who are these people taking part in the scams, and how are they so successful? One paper entitled "The Geography of Online Dating Fraud" by multiple computer science departments in UK universities details where these scammers are actually coming from. West Africa, more specifically Nigeria and Ghana, are well known and two of the most popular countries for internet scams. However, Malaysia, South Africa, the UK, and the US also produce a significant amount of fraud. According to the data within this paper, Nigeria alone is responsible for 30% of romance fraud, and they, along with Malaysia, India, Turkey, and South Africa, all have scripts being frequently reused. Now, these scripts are being the planned-out messages that are sent to potential romance scam victims. A playbook of one of these scripts was released, detailing all the different ways romance scammers are directed to talk to their victims. They're casual, friendly, and frankly, something that anyone lonely might want to hear. While there are some simple greetings, there are also sweet flirty messages, like these. I can't think of anything better than getting a reply from you. Or, could you please reply to this message and make me feel like the luckiest person in the world? And, the truth? I like you a lot, and I don't even know you yet. I just have an idea. A lot of the messages are vague, something that a scammer could send out to any number of their victims. There are also backgrounds that the scammers are encouraged to borrow from. Usually the stories claim that they just want to settle down, or how they previously had a wife but she passed away. Frankly, within these stories and answers, a lot of people in their lives passed away, both parents, a previous spouse, sometimes a child, etc. And in my opinion, this makes them appear more sympathetic, but also to avoid more people and personal questions to keep track of for the scammer. They also consistently claim that they don't like liars if the question "what's your biggest turnoff" is asked, while saying that they can be trusted because they're ready to open their mind and heart and lay down their life for the woman they love. If the question "what do you think about a long-distance relationship" is asked, the playbook instructs them to answer, "I think when two people are strong enough, they can make anything work out, but it does take much understanding and patience. This is how I feel. I would swim 1,000 rivers and climb 100 walls just to be with the person I love." And that is apparently as long as you're willing to strap $200,000 to your body, get through airport security, and break international law, but I digress. Of course, it's not just the words that are faked, but the photos too. There's another victim in this, and that's whoever may have their photos stolen to serve as a scammer's profile picture. From what I've seen, the picture is usually a conventionally attractive middle-aged male. As FBI Special Agent Christy Baining explains, scammers aren't trying to build themselves up too high. So they usually select average photos with average pictures to be more believable. Some stolen photos include men with candy, a child, or a military man. On Pinterest, accounts have actually gathered up all the stolen photos used by scammers, and a massive amount of them are military pictures, though for the ones of women, they look more like modeling photos. One man, David, wrote an article for Republic Report about how his photo was stolen, and he received messages from people all over the world to inform him. A Dutch pharmacist, a Bolivian teacher, a Singaporean administrative assistant, all of them have been contacted by someone with his photo. While many hadn't actually given the scammer any money, others admitted that they sent the person behind David's photo thousands of dollars. David said the Dutch pharmacist told him, "Well, David, I received a lot of pictures from you. I've been chatting a lot with this man because I was flattered about what he wrote me. He told me I was looking like an angel, and at the beginning, I was a little bit scared about what was happening, but after 1 week of chats, I was believing that he, or you, was speaking the truth. He wanted to come to my country and invited me to come to New York where you live, but now I understand you don't. I have about 3,000 chats from him. Normally, I'm not that stupid, but because of all the pictures I've received during the last weeks, it felt like a dream too good to be true. I am a woman living with my son of 6 years, so I think he's looking for that kind of vulnerable woman, as you understand. Because of the pictures, I really like to meet you, but now I have to wake up." The Bolivian teacher told David that the person went by Michael Sagal when messaging her and expressed how devastated she was to learn that Michael wasn't real. According to David, her messages became more desperate. He blocked her, only for the teacher to make a fake profile and start pursuing him again. David's photo has also apparently circulated on Muslim dating sites like Badu, Facebook, and presumably many more. His photo stole $15,000 from a disabled veteran in Minnesota, $8,000 through an anonymous woman on a dating site, and again, presumably much more. Everything from the playbook, in addition to the photos, means that the relationship will outwardly be, in essence, a traditional, movie-dramatized, I'll-care-for-you-and-die-for-you type of romantic dynamic between a seemingly attractive man and woman. Obviously, that's not what everyone's looking for in a relationship, but scammers tend to target people who do want those things and may be more susceptible and vulnerable towards those promises. One study published in 2018 about the psychological characteristics of romance scam victims demonstrates this. When 12,060 UK participants were recruited from an online panel, it was found that 728 people had been the victim of fraud once and 329 had been a victim multiple times. Of those two groups, 200 of them had been targeted for romance scams in particular. Interestingly enough, the romance scam victims were found to be slightly more educated than those that weren't scammed. This doesn't mean that you're more likely to be scammed if you have a PhD or something, but it does prove the idea that only stupid people fall for scams is patently untrue. In fact, the study showed that the largest deviations in factors seem to be impulsivity, not education. Overconfidence, trust in others, a disposition for addiction, these psychological qualities seem to play the biggest roles. It's hypothesized at the end of the study that because of the disposition for addictive quality, programs that have been developed to prevent other addictive issues such as Alcoholics or Gamblers Anonymous may actually help romance scam victims. So before we go on to take a look at the why does this happen, let's take a quick break to thank today's sponsors. There's a million gimmicks right now promising you a perfect night of sleep. But no matter what, if you're sleeping on a terrible mattress, your sleep will most likely be absolute garbage. That's why it's worth getting a Purple mattress. Only Purple mattresses have the Gel Flex Grid, a super stretchy, ultra squishy material that adapts and flexes around pressure points and doesn't retain heat. The Gel Flex Grid supports your back and legs, and yet also cushions your shoulders, neck, and hips. Now, my room, I found out, actually runs warm. I just moved, in case you guys haven't noticed. I think I've mentioned it a couple times that I've been in the process of moving. But I moved, and I'm at my new place now, and my room now gets really, really warm instead of being really, really cold. So I am extremely grateful that my Purple mattress just, like, sucks the heat out. Like, I'm not sleeping cold, I'm sleeping comfortable. And I think that's something really, really important, is that I'm just not sleeping hot, and I really think that's part of the Purple mattress. And ultimately, it's Cooser approved too, because he's an Arctic dog, and if he's gonna sleep on it all night next to me and just vibe and have a good time, it means it's a pretty good temperature, because he does not like hot temperature things. Try your Purple mattress risk-free and with free shipping and returns. Financing is also available too. Getting a great night's sleep starts with having a great mattress. So get a Purple mattress. Go to purple.com/MLM and use code MLM. For a limited time, you can get 10% off any order of $200 or more. That's purple.com/MLM, code MLM, for 10% off any order of $200 or more. purple.com/MLM, promo code MLM. Terms apply. Imagine what you could do if you were free from high interest debt. It's always a great time to get your financial house in order, and you can do it with Upstart. Upstart is the fast and easy way to pay off your debt with a personal loan, and you can do it all online. Rather than looking only at your credit score, Upstart considers other factors as well, like your current employment, income, your credit history, all to find you a smarter loan rate. Check out rates online without impacting your credit score for loans between $1,000 and $50,000. It doesn't matter if you're trying to make just one easy payment one month by combining everything together. Maybe you want to plan for a vacation. Perhaps you're planning some home improvements. Maybe getting investment money to start a new business. I don't know what you want to do, but you can do it with Upstart. Find out how Upstart can lower your monthly payments today when you go to upstart.com/MLM. That's upstart.com/MLM. Don't forget to use our URL to let them know we sent you. Loan amounts will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. upstart.com/MLM.
At Sephora, we know how you love to use makeup, skincare, hair care, and fragrances that work for you, but also how important it is to be in the know about the ingredients that are in them, which is why we created Clean at Sephora. Curated products from brands like Merit, Amika, Summer Fridays, and Fleur that have everything you want, minus certain ingredients you might not. Clean at Sephora is only at Sephora. Shop now at Sephora.com.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
So why is this happening? Why are there so many people across the globe stealing photos and pretending to be a romantic interest? Yeah, there's the obvious reason, money. But it's become so common in places such as Nigeria that this seems like a far bigger issue. Some websites claim that these romance scammers are white-collar criminals that may have narcissistic or sociopathic tendencies. While this might be true in some cases, it's far more complicated than that. In fact, many romance scammers have turned it out of desperation and unemployment rates, and over the years, the culture has embraced scammers as role models. According to the BBC, Nigerian scammers first defrauded Westerners of millions of dollars back in the 1990s. They became known as 419 scams after the section of the Nigerian Penal Code that handles these types of crimes. And this, by the way, is where the whole send money to a Nigerian prince stereotype kind of scam came from. These kinds of scams requesting a fee for an enormous return later are ages old. The New York Times described it back in 1898 when it wasn't the 419 scam, but a Spanish prisoner scam. They said that the letters were written as fairly well-educated foreigners speak English, with a word misspelled here and there and an occasional foreign idiom. Hell, even after the French Revolution, for example, letters talking about aristocrats in exile were supposedly sent out to people, and they were claiming that a nobleman had his jewels thrown into a lake. This nobleman's servants went to retrieve them but were thrown in prison. And now the letter claims that if you helped bail out the servant, they would give you some of the loot. Needless to say, the 419 scams of the 1990s weren't anything new. They just circulated faster via the internet than letters of the 17 and 1800s. But why Nigeria? How did this turn into a whole operation? Well, the BBC explains that the first wave of 419 scammers were mostly uneducated criminals. However, things changed by the next wave. Then, it was young, educated men frustrated by the lack of formal jobs and an economy ruined by a series of military dictatorships and years of mismanagement. In other words, these educated young men saw uneducated scammers making wealth and decided they were, ultimately, better off scamming. Plus, with money comes power, and some of these scammers could establish legitimate businesses with their money, or become philanthropists or politicians. Scamming was how they got their start. According to Nigerian novelist, which I'm gonna try and pronounce their name correctly, but I apologize for this in advance, Adeobi Trisha Nawabani, "The fraudsters are our brothers' friends, friends' husbands, dates, or relatives who genuflect as they smile sweetly and say to us, 'Good morning, Auntie.'" A young man who was on the FBI's most wanted list for years and eventually convicted of $40 million fraud in 2013 is the only son of a lovely woman I considered my mother's prettiest and most fashionable friend while I was growing up. "These fraudsters flash their lavish lifestyles in our faces. We attend their ostentatious weddings and parties. They are the special guests at our events. Our community and humanitarian projects benefit from their largeness. But we feel immensely ashamed when their names featured on FBI lists or when they are arrested, because they become a national disgrace. The money may be beneficial, but no one wants to know where it comes from. However, eventual shame or not, those that participate in the scams have embraced the culture too." Samuel, a young man and former cyber scammer interviewed by the LA Times, says that scammers, quote, "have the belief that white men are stupid and greedy. They say the American guy has a good life. There's this belief that for every dollar they lose, the American government will pay them back in some way," end quote. There's even a song called "I Go Chop Your Dollars" that was hugely popular in Lagos, with lyrics that read, "419 is just a game. You are the losers, we are the winners. White people are greedy. White men, I will eat your dollars." Though a member of the government's Nigerian cybercrime working group told the LA Times that they aren't just sitting on their hands and are working to tackle online crime, the problem has grown out of control. As the LA Times explains, while unemployment may be the reason many young men find their way into scamming, having that money and subsequent power seems to be the reason many stay. Samuel, for example, was only 15 years old when he was actually recruited by a crime boss named Shepard. Shepard invited young Samuel to his mansion, bought him designer clothes, and told him that every hour Samuel spent online, he could be making good money. Shepard offered him 20% off of whatever he got, and eager to impress, Samuel worked for 6-hour-long stretches. He apparently sent 500 emails out every day and received around 7 replies back. According to Samuel, when you get a reply, it's 70% sure you'll get the money. Now, the fact that Samuel was only 15 years old at the time is especially concerning, because obviously young teenagers are going to be easier to exploit. Also, if you think this is setting off some cultish alarm bells, maybe it reminds you of the charm and love bombing that goes into cults, and you're not wrong. It reminded me of that too on my first read-through. It really made me think about how cults or criminal leaders can sound so charming and welcoming at first, even showing off all the benefits that you could have if you just follow them. But we'll get to that in just a second. The point is, put yourself in this kiddo's shoes, right? Because I'm in my late 20s. So when I think back to when I was a 15-year-old, I don't know if I would have fallen for something like this. There's a maybe possibility, right? Because I didn't grow up with money. So, you know, the idea that someone could take me under their wing to teach me all of this and then I could have money and subsequently means I could turn around and provide for my family better than my family, you know, was doing. Like, yeah, that was really enticing. That would have absolutely made me pause, at least. I'll say that. So it's just something to consider and think about because, you know, from the outside, it seems really easy to look in, you know, right now in my late 20s and go, oh my God, don't fall for that. That's stupid. Don't you know about all these kinds of things? And the reality is, as a 15-year-old, you probably don't know those things. And that's not the fault of the 15-year-old. That's the exploitation at play. But it's just something to mull over. It's just something that sits in the back of my head. Anyway. Now, although we are talking about romance scams today, not necessarily 419 scams, the culture and age of some of these scammers seems worth taking a look at. Again, not all of these romance scams are coming out of Nigeria and West Africa and that's it. Still, there's no denying the prevalence of internet scams there either, and I find it important to discuss why this happens in the first place. Now, in this next portion of today's episode, we are going to be making some brief mentions of violence and trafficking, so keep that in mind as you continue. We're going to talk about some of the crime related to all of this now. Now, of course, what the Nigerian Cybercrime Working Group told the LA Times earlier is true. Nigeria is working to expose these criminals and take cybercrime much more seriously. But as you can imagine, romance scams can be a symptom of a much bigger problem, like criminal syndicates and cults. In September 2021, the FBI arrested 33 individuals across Texas that were members of the Black Axe, a criminal syndicate tied to the neo-black movement. According to the record, the NBM started out with the goals of fighting racism, and the Black Axe was just a college fraternity founded in the 1970s. However, over time, the Black Axe evolved into a secret society, cult, and confraternity, like a brotherhood, that turned to violent tactics and criminal activity. A 2020 Interpol report states that these days, Black Axe is tied to human trafficking, narcotics trafficking, grand theft, money laundering, and cybercrimes. The NBM, by the way, has since distanced itself from the Black Axe. Those 33 suspects arrested in Texas took part in the latter, including romance schemes. They joined Match.com, Christian Mingle, JSwipe, and Plenty of Fish. Court documents state that they stole about $17 million in total doing this from at least 100 victims and have been active since early 2017, perhaps even sooner. Black Axe members have been arrested in various parts of the world for their cybercrimes. In April last year, Italian police arrested 30 suspected Black Axe members for drug and people trafficking, prostitution, and internet fraud. A former member, Dr. John Stone, now teaches political science at the University of Benin in southern Nigeria. In an interview with the BBC, he told them that he was known as a butcher, while the Black Axe is locally referred to as a cult. The BBC writes, "Images of those who cross the Black Axe's path, dead bodies mutilated or showing signs of torture, regularly surface on Nigerian social media. Some have started digging into the Black Axe cult before, after coming across their scam victims. However, the deeper they dig, the more horrifying and dangerous it gets, and Black Axe has sent some horrific death threats to those that pursue them. One says, a manhunt will befall you. The axe will pierce through your skull. I will lick your blood and chew your eyes." Needless to say, their tendency for brutal acts of violence and murder does seem like it might keep a few people from looking too closely into their actions. Even so, internet fraud is their main source of revenue and their scams aren't small scale by any means. The BBC calls them collaborative, organized, and extremely lucrative operations, sometimes involving dozens of individuals working together across continents. Plus, just as 33 men were arrested in September, 8 men were arrested in October 2021 as well. Their decade-long romance scams managed to steal about $7 million in total before the 8 men were caught in Cape Town. They too are believed to have ties to Black Axe. In the past, crimes like these have tended to result in around 10 to 20 year long prison sentences and often very hefty fines. Now, although I do want to say clearly that I don't think that every romance scammer from West Africa is part of Black Axe, I'm absolutely certain there are exceptions, but this does seem to be an alarmingly common route to take, whether or not someone is a part of the violence. From the way sources portray it, Nigerians and Ghanaians are often recruited from universities. In Nigeria, they are called the Yahoo Boys, and in Ghana, the Sakawa Boys. Then, the recruits work in groups as part of the worldwide network. black acts where they may also become involved with sex and drug trafficking crimes also enters the picture. In the US, their roots are often in cities like Atlanta, Houston, New York City, and Miami. Now, the topic of intent becomes really difficult for me here, and I'm going to go ahead and just kind of lay this one out on the table. Many of my sources go on to say that these scammers are narcissistic. They don't care about others and things of that nature. Now, I think there could be some truth to that, but I actually want to present the entire situation as a whole as much as I can here, for just a moment at least. Personally, I think that these young, educated men want the opportunity to earn a good living. In places like Nigeria, that can be exceptionally difficult, so seeing the wealth that scammers have obtained, it's something that may almost become inspiring and that they'll want to follow in those footsteps. It may not be per se that they want to lead a life of scamming, but they want to lead a life where they're comfortable. In this case, it's just for the money. However, it's impossible for me to sympathize with these Black Axe members the moment I hear that they're involved in human trafficking. No scam is a good scam, but I could at least understand why someone may have felt there was no other alternative. However, if someone is immersed in the scamming culture and the cult itself, then that's kind of irredeemable and inexcusable. I hope that makes sense. It's kind of my own ramblings and thoughts, but I feel I should just kind of put that out there to be like, while I may understand why some go into it and, you know, with cults and stuff, you kind of just tend to fall down this rabbit hole and then all of a sudden you're doing things that you never thought you'd do in your life. And I wonder if that's the case, how this happens. And it was something that just I noticed with a fair amount of my sources. They all tend to kind of go, oh, yeah, they're narcissistic. And I go, I think that's a really broad brush to paint all of these scammers with. And statistically, for how many people in a population are actually narcissists, I just don't think that like every single narcissist in the population in like Nigeria got rounded up and decided they're all going to be scammers. Like, I just don't think that's statistically like what happened here. So anyway, I hope that kind of made sense. Maybe it didn't, but I hope what I was trying to say came across clear enough. Anyway, we'll go back to the episode. Now, while I can't imagine what I would do if I found out someone I loved wasn't real, let alone that there's a chance they were part of some kind of vicious cult, one woman's reaction is a bit different than what you might expect. According to the BBC, Marie Grette was 62 years old when she learned the 58-year-old man she'd fallen in love with, Johnny, was actually a 24-year-old Nigerian 419 scammer. The scammer had told Maria that he was going to visit her in Sweden, but while on his way, his son had been shot, they'd been mugged, and he had no money or papers. Marie, horrified for Johnny, wired him 1,000 euros for treatment for his dying son. She sent thousands before realizing that Johnny wasn't real, but in a turn of events, the scammers called Marie and revealed his true identity, confessing to what he did. She stated that the most terrible thing wasn't that he'd cheated her, but that he'd lost his innocence in the process. The young man told her that he was a devil who wronged a lovely woman and explained that he actually trusted Marie and had genuinely fallen for her, even if their relationship had been based on complete falsehoods. The two continued to talk, but now with no requests for money involved. The two became good friends, meeting in person back in 2009. Seeing the culture and meeting other scammers in Nigeria lit a fire under Marie, and she wanted to help the young men that fell into this trap of scamming, as she put it. From 2011 to this article's release in 2016, Marie has arranged for a number of African artists to visit Europe for art exhibitions, workshops, conferences, and competitions. She's visited Uganda to help source international grants and funding, and as a whole, improve the lives of young African artists. Given what we've just said about how dangerous some of these people can be, this isn't something I'd recommend, but it's important to recognize that this is a vast organization. People are going to be in it for many different reasons, and this isn't a black and white issue of these people are sociopaths situation. So, what do you do to avoid romance scams? If you know someone involved in one, how do you help them? Well, I think the study said some kind of Romance Scam Victims Anonymous is a really great idea. There are some Facebook groups for this, but generally speaking, these aren't nearly as popular or well-known as other support groups out there. Unfortunately, there is such a stigma about those that have fallen for these types of scams as being stupid, which makes it all the more harder for them to even get help.
My mom told me she met a guy online and went in business with him. I lost it. My mom has been duped into.
For example, Dr. Phil has brought a lot of attention to these romance-type scams, which in of itself is not a bad thing. However, when one elderly woman, Anna, came on the show, her family members described her as having gone off the deep end or questioning, how could my mom be so stupid to fall for this?
I often wonder, how could my mom be so stupid and fall for this?
Anna is very sweet, but oftentimes she is very naive.
I have a hard time understanding how my mom can...
I can only imagine their exasperation. It must be incredibly frustrating for these family members, given that Anna claims that she spent upwards of six figures on her supposed boyfriend named Sammy. As an aside here, I have spoken about Dr. Phil in multiple previous episodes. He has fake stories before. So, you know, whether or not the story about Anna and Sammy is even real, it's the attitude in this that I think is important to look at. Titles like Son Says Mom's Heart is Bigger Than Her Brain definitely doesn't help the situation either. I don't think people that fall for scams are idiots. They're just in a vulnerable position, and that distinction is so important to make. Approaching this topic with sympathy is really needed to get people the help that they need for those that are stuck in these situations. The fact is that these scams are on the rise, and no, you don't have to be dumb to fall for it. In 2019, the total losses to romance scams were about $201 million over just 25,000 victims. In the first 6 months of 2020 alone, a record-breaking $117 million of loss was reported, with many starting on Facebook or Instagram. Though so many relationships do start online these days, not giving online friends or partners money is probably the best thing that you can do to keep in mind and protect yourself. Even if the person does turn out to be real, do you really want a relationship based on giving someone money anyway? But that's my opinion. But the point is, reverse image searching, recognizing the warning signs as well as stereotypical stories used by scammers, and insisting on a video chat early on in the relationship are all things that you can do to be careful and protect yourself from emotional and financial hurt. And please, if you know someone that may be a victim of a romance scam, I really recommend approaching them with understanding and kindness versus asking them why they're so stupid. Because I assure you, no one wants to admit that they're stupid or have made a mistake. It's a hard thing to do. And to go at someone like that kind of feels like an attack more than anything. So just remember, be kind. So with that being said, that's where we're going to end today's episode of Multi-Level Mondays. Thought I was super clever covering the romance scams on Valentine's Day. Anyway, that's my little way of doing a little cheeky joke on today, because sometimes these episodes can be really serious, so every once in a while it's kind of nice to do something like this. But again, if you did like this episode, learn something new, all that good stuff, make sure you're liking, following, and subscribing so you can stay up to date on all the latest episodes. We upload episodes 3 times a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate you spending the time here today, and I'll see you in the next one. Bye.